Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping into the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, and I am your host as well as chief encourager and author. In order for you to hang out with us in this awesome space, all that's required for you to do is sit back, open your mind, and enjoy the show. I've definitely been enjoying spending this time with you guys during Podmas because normally we don't get to spend as much QT together. So for those who are unfamiliar with Podmas, I'll break it down real quick. For the month of December, similar to Vlogmas, I am doing daily podcasts from the 1st of December through the 12th of December. So that is why we are spending so much time together. There will be guests infused, but the majority of it is us spending time together, me sharing with you and me talking to you about some of the things that I don't normally get to talk to you guys about or share with you. So today we're going to be getting into how to get press without a publicist. Now, for those who haven't quite caught up yet, my formal background is in PR. So when I graduated from college, I had an internship. And so instead of having a full-time 9-to-5 job, that summer I got an internship with a company called GSN, otherwise known as the Game Show Network. And it was a PR internship, and I wasn't familiar with PR at the time. I didn't know much about it at all. So I got this internship and I applied for it through this program. So that's how I ended up applying for an internship that I really didn't know that much about. It was all through a program called the T. Howard Foundation. Wonderful program. I never can speak highly enough about the program. So got into this internship and started learning all about PR, and I loved it. I love the writing aspect. I love the entertainment aspect of things because I was in entertainment at the time. I loved just the connecting with people. It was all fresh and new, and it was something I wasn't familiar with. So that's where I got my start. That's where I wrote my first press release that was actually released wide. And wide just means it was sent to all of the different publications and outlets and whatnot. And it was exciting. And from there, I did PR in LA for a number of years, worked on all different types of things from gifting suites to movie premieres to hotel launches to just all types of PR. And once you really know the fundamentals of PR, you can almost do any type of PR. There's just as with other things, specific industries require specific knowledge about that industry. So that's the thing that might change. But the basics of PR, they don't change. So today I wanted to share with you some of the tips that you might find useful if you are trying to do your own PR. Now, you might be thinking, oh, this is just for entrepreneurs, people that have a product or service to sell, and they're going to try and do their own PR. No, this is also if you are a corporate climber and you are trying to make your mark in the corporate space, this is for you as well. Just make sure that there aren't any conflicts with your current job and position as to where they wouldn't really ideally like you getting press and it would be frowned upon. Just put your feelers out about that before you make any major moves. But it's always a good idea, as we've talked about before, and if you didn't hear it, go back to the Branding Yourself to Climb the Corporate Ladder episode, because it's always a good idea to make your mark, to make your presence felt, to be an expert in something, to establish yourself as having an expertise in an area of business if you are trying to rise among the ranks. So let's go ahead and jump into the tips. And before we get started, I want to let you know this. The relationship between media and PR professionals has always been a tricky relationship. It's been interesting because as a writer, sometimes you're on deadline, you don't have that much time, you have specific things that you are charged with writing about, and then you have PR professionals that sometimes want to pitch you everything under the sun, and most times nothing that you exactly want. And then on the other side of that, you have the PR professional who has a job to do. They have to pitch you things that maybe you don't want in the hopes of maybe you'll take it, maybe you'll actually bite on the story. So that's their job, whether it be that they're accountable to a client who wants to see results or to a company or corporation who wants to see results. They want to see their name in the press. So the PR person's job is to basically bang the door down until they get the media professional to write about what they want them to write about. But usually the media professional doesn't really make themselves available if they are not interested in a story. But then on the other side of that, if they need a story and they know the right PR professional to go to for it, they'll be banging the PR professional's door down. So let's take for example, just to make this clear for you guys, let's say fashion. So you work at Marc Jacobs as a PR rep in the PR department. And you, as a journalist or a media professional, you work at Women's Wear Daily. The idea for fashion houses is to always be mentioned in Women's Wear Daily. So, as the PR professional, your higher ups may be saying to you, you need to get a story in Women's Wear Daily on this new watch that we're releasing for Christmas, for holiday. So you're thinking, okay, I got to get a story in Women's Wear Daily. So you call your trusted person who writes for Women's Wear Daily and covers accessories. But they're not answering. They know it's you. They're not answering. They see your emails. They're not answering. They're not interested. So then you have a tough sell on your hands and you sometimes have to tuck your tail and go back and say, hey, I couldn't get any traction on placing this new watch in Women's Wear Daily. Fine. Then some time rolls around and there's a big scandal that breaks. One of the executives at Marc Jacobs is involved in a scandal in the fashion, and it's rocking the fashion industry, and everybody wants a comment. Everybody wants an inside scoop on the story. So then over at Women's Wear Daily, they're having their editorial meeting and they're saying, we need a comment about this. We need a comment from someone over at Marc Jacobs about this scandal. And the accessories editor says, I know someone over there. Let me give him or her a call. So now they're calling the same person who was trying to pitch them about the new watch and they weren't interested. So now they have to make that call. So now these two might come together and work on this, work on getting this inside scoop. And the draw for the person at Marc Jacobs would be that they want to control the narrative. That is, if the company is actually ready to release a statement and wants to talk. Now, this is a very extreme scenario that I'm giving you, but I'm just trying to paint the picture as to how one side wants what it wants, the other side might not be willing to cooperate at that particular time, but there usually comes a time where the other side then wants to cooperate on something. So it's a give and take. Now, the other thing that I want to mention to you about PR and securing PR placements is that it's not an overnight thing. There is no immediate return on a PR situation or trying to get PR hits, okay? And when I say PR hits, that just means PR placements being written about. It all means the same thing. You may have to put in some time, some months typically, before you'll start to see results. And then on the other hand, with the way that news and websites and things move so fast now, you may see a quicker turnaround. If you do, great for you. You got lucky. Nice. Now, if you are entertaining hiring a PR professional, I would be very leery of anyone that promises you a grand amount of results in a short amount of time. Yes, there are certain PR professionals who are very seasoned at what they do and have a specific niche. So the likelihood of them being able to deliver excellent results in a short amount of time is higher, but usually PR professionals do not like to go around guaranteeing anything because we know how that can fall through. And then you're left holding the bag, looking silly at your client when you could not secure the bag. Okay. when you could not make it happen, whatever it was that you promised you would make happen. So be leery of anyone that over promises to you, okay? Now, my first thing that I want you to know, my first tip is that much of PR is about relationships. So if you are interested in building your outward facing profile with the media, know that relationships play a big part. That is how someone is able to easily pick up the phone and call on a friend, or let's say a friendly media personnel, to get a story written about them. Now, it may not be a call that any and everyone can make because that relationship has been developed. So a lot of it is relationships. So if you are looking to start entering into this space and getting PR for yourself, think of the people that you want to connect with and make relationships with. Now, that leads into my next tip. You want to become familiar with the person that you are reaching out to, with the outlet that you are reaching out to, with the organization that you're reaching out to and you're pitching, okay? You might even decide to follow them, the writer, on like social media. A lot of writers, journalists, things of that nature engage on Twitter. That might be a good approachable way for you to start and engage with them. But be mindful that you want to know what they do. You want to know what they write about. You want to know what their specialty is. When we were in the days of heavy journalism, it was called their beat. You wanted to know what their beat was. And their beat means what is the topic that they generally write about, because everyone doesn't write about everything. Usually people have their niche and they have their expertise in terms of what they write about, and they kind of stick to that area. So if you are someone who is trying to pitch them to write about the next cool do-it-all KitchenAid mixer, you wouldn't want to accidentally pitch someone who writes about mattresses. Although they seem like they might be in the same category of home, one may not touch the other, depending on the publication and the outlet, depending on how it's set up and how their writers write. But you just want to be aware of these things, because you don't want a silly mistake like that, or let's say a simple mistake like that, to count you out of the running of getting potential press. Because what happens is, when you send a pitch to someone about an area that they don't cover and they don't write in, that's an automatic red flag that says, hey, you haven't actually read my stuff. You're just blind emailing me and taking a chance. That's careless. You don't care enough. So why should I care to even read your email or read your pitch? No, I don't. Boom, in the trash. Done. And then the next time that they see your name come into their inbox, they're probably likely to not even open it, because now they don't take you serious. They don't think that you take your job, your products, what your services, whatever you're selling or doing, they think you don't take it serious. Okay. The next tip is to identify your storyline and your hook. Okay. Now, these are two different things. Your storyline is one thing and your hook is another thing. The storyline is pretty much the way that I would explain it is, it's the overview of what's happening. And the hook tells the person that you're pitching why they should be interested. One easy way to think of it is like a movie. So when you see a trailer for a movie, you sort of gather what the storyline is, right? That's the highlight reel of it. But when you actually watch the movie, then you get what the hook is, okay? The hook is like the climax of the movie. It's what captures you in. It's the thing that draws you in and keeps you watching the movie. It's the lingering question, is this or isn't this going to happen? That's the hook. You want to find a hook for a writer to grab a hold to when you're pitching them. You don't want to pitch them some mundane story that's been told 10 times over and there's nothing interesting about it. You need a hook. You want a hook. And a hook could be something like an interesting angle. It could be a first ever. It could be a top of the chart. It could be some kind of like amazing stat for that particular industry. A hook could be someone doing something that is completely out of the norm for that industry. Think in terms of first, think in terms of big, think in terms of unique. You want something that's going to basically grab the writer's attention. Now, the next tip is double checking those emails. So email is typically the way to go when you are pitching somebody new. And if you want to enter the space soft and really develop a relationship, you might just send an FYI email first before you actually make a pitch. You might just send a, hey, this product made me think of you. Just wanted to put it on your radar and leave it at that. No real ask, just so that the person gets familiar with you. But now if you're short on time and you want to see a quick turnaround and you just absolutely know that this particular item or service or what have or piece of news is right up this person's alley, this writer's alley, then you just go ahead and send it and take your chances. But if you have a little time to play and plan, you might want to start with a introductory email that's not asking anything. But any way you do it, make sure that you double check all your emails. That's the next tip. Double check all of your emails to avoid careless mistakes, like careless spelling errors, leaving the wrong name in the addressee space. Oh my gosh, that is my worst nightmare because it has happened before. So sometimes as a PR professional, when you're releasing news, and that just means when you're sending out news to a bunch of different outlets and trying to get them all to write about it and talk about it, you may have to send like 50 to 100, 200 emails all in one sitting. And I'm talking individual emails, not blind copying people, because individual emails make it feel more personal. That's just another side tip. You never want to send out a blast mass email to a bunch of media professionals, blind copying them all, asking them to write about something. They don't like that. That makes it feel like, who else has this news? Who else knows about this? I'm not writing about this if everybody is writing about this. They always want to feel exclusive and like you're giving them something that other people don't know, even though that's not what the case has to be. That's a whole nother thing. Exclusives are a whole nother thing for a whole nother day. Now, when you're sending out mass emails and you're emailing a lot of people, most times what you're doing is you're just only slightly tweaking the email. If you include the outlet's name in the email, like let's say you include New York Times in the email, then you might change out the name every time you send it out. You might change it from New York Times to the New Yorker. You might change it, whatever, every time you send it out. But you'll also change the person's name. But what you want to make sure is that you do change the person's name. It is easy to get in this like almost zombie state as you're just copying and pasting with these emails and forget to change the person's name. Nightmare. It has happened to me before and I just had to suck it up and say, you know what? I'm human. Shit happens. Oh, well, you know, there's nothing you could do. I couldn't take the email back. I couldn't unsend it. So anyway, you want to make sure that you address the email to the right person. Don't mess up like that, because that's another easy way for someone who you don't have a relationship to be like, how thoughtless, you know? They'll just think like you don't care and they don't really matter to you. So why should they take the concern to read your email? They won't. Now, the other tip is to have your materials ready to serve up as soon as they're requested of you. So let's say you send this pitch email, the media professional responds, and they're interested. They are interested in your storyline. They're interested in your hook, your pitch. What if they then ask more of you? They say, oh, can you send me images? Oh, can you send me a press release? Oh, can you send me a bio? Oh, can you send me some stats on this new cool gadget? You need to be ready. You need to be ready with whatever backup materials they send you. Now, look, you're not a mind reader. You don't know exactly what they're going to ask of you. But there's some things that you can anticipate, especially when you're talking about a new release. You can anticipate that they might want images. You can anticipate that they might want further background detail. You can anticipate that they might want to interview the person who created this new product or for this new release. Those are the types of things that you can anticipate. So you'll you're better served if you are ready with those things, because the quicker you respond and you communicate with the person, the more it just shows them that you're on top of it, you're ready to go, and the less likelihood of them becoming disinterested. So let's say they email you one day and they ask you for this backup materials. A whole 24 to 48 hours goes by, and then you finally gather the materials and you finally get back to them. They may have had a moment of clarity and they're like, actually, never mind, that's not such a great story. Now you've lost your opportunity. Or things move fast in the world of media, so maybe something else came up, and now they don't have the time or the room to write about what you wanted them to write about. So now you've lost your opportunity. So timeliness is also a factor, and being ready when you send out a pitch, being ready to respond with whatever materials are requested of you. The other thing that I want to add, obviously, into that is, if you are sending images, so let's say someone requests images and you decide to send the images. Let me actually back up a second. It is never a good idea to crowd people's emails with a bunch of attachments and things of that nature if they have not been requested, especially if you have never engaged with them before. I'm sure you've probably done it. We've all done it. Because we all get such mass amounts of email daily now, it is annoying for someone to clog up your inbox and your storage space with huge files that they're sending you that you didn't ask for. So just be mindful of that. But when someone does ask you for imagery, make sure it's high resolution, especially for my people out here who are doing their own PR and working their own products and doing everything themselves. Like, let's say you have a candle company and you're trying to get coverage and you're trying to be in the holiday gift guides and things like that. And you get a bite. Someone responds and they say, yes, I'd love to feature your candles. Send me some images. Make sure they're high resolution. If you don't know what high resolution means, Google it. Make sure that the image quality is good. It's not pixelated or anything of that nature, because the number one thing that bad imagery shouts is that you're an amateur. Because anyone who's been around should know that your imagery should be high quality. That is what people will assume. So make sure that your imagery is on point and that it is high quality. And also make sure that it meets the standard of the publication that you're reaching out to. I'm just giving you guys everything today, but I want you guys to know this stuff. Because look, when people request images of you, they are not going to use anything or include anything that does not match the aesthetic of what they have going on. So let's take, for example, the feature that I had with Level League or Levo. So they wanted imagery and they wanted me to send them about 5 to 7 images. I paid attention to the style, the aesthetic of their brand, images that people had submitted before, so that I could get the look and feel that they were going for, and I could send them appropriate photos. Now, I didn't go out and take all of these photos after figuring out what the look and feel was. I just made sure that in my arsenal of things that I have, a variety of pictures is one of them. So I sent them pictures that I thought would be appropriate for their readers, that their readers might find interesting, and that might look well on their website and within the mix of the stories and that they've already told and the features that they had already done. So those are the things that you want to be mindful of, because you never want to potentially get a good opportunity, but then they end up passing because you just don't quite meet the standard. Everything should always be high quality imagery, and just take care with your images. And if you're not great at images, invest the money in having someone do some really good quality imagery for you that you can continuously use, and you can continuously shop around to different people so you don't have to recreate the wheel every time. Now you've made that investment. Now it's done. You have good quality images and they look good as well. They look very professional. They look crisp. The lighting is good, especially when you're talking about products. Very key to have good product images, because that might be your only opportunity to sell the product if you can't put it in the person's hands. Okay, moving on to the next tip. Be concise and to the point with your pitch. When you are making an email pitch to someone, make the ask early. It doesn't need to be the first line, but it should be within the first few lines so that when the person is skimming through the email, they know what you want and they know what you're looking for early, okay? The other thing is don't pitch a few and then not get a response and get discouraged. So don't pitch a few people. Like I said, sometimes when we would release news, I would send out 200 emails easy in a day releasing news. So you have to think of it like this. It's all about the ratio. What kind of response are you going to get back from the number of emails that you're sending out? So if you send out 5 emails and no one responds positively and no one's interested in your product or your service, then you need to send out more emails. Don't let that discourage you, because that is the nature of the beast when it comes to PR. You won't always get a response and you won't always find people that are interested. It's just the name of the game. You just keep going until you find somebody that is. My next tip is to go after the low-hanging fruit. This is what we call the low-hanging fruit is the smaller gets. The things that are more approachable and easier for you to get. Think in terms of, let's say if you're on social media and you have a decent social media following, pay attention to the people that might be following you that are bloggers and things of that nature, and they might be interested in writing about whatever it is that you do or sell. That is low-hanging fruit. There's almost a relationship that's built already. There's a familiarity that's there. So it might be easier for you to make that ask or have that conversation. And the reason that you do that is because press begets press. When people see that you've been written about, when people see that other people are talking about you, they figure, what am I missing? What do I need to know about this person? Why don't I know who they are? So press begets press. The next tip that I have for you is finding contacts, doing a little research. So now I'm telling you all these ways to pitch these people and how it should be and how it should be set up. But you're probably thinking, well, I don't even know the first way to find the contact information for this person that I really want to write this story. This is where you have to be ambitious and you have to keep going. You just have to have this spirit of, I'm not going to stop and I'm not going to give up until I find the answer that I need. Because it's not always straightforward to find contact information for writers or journalists or what have you. If you're lucky, there's an email address that's maybe listed on the website that they write for. But then sometimes if there's nothing there, if they're a freelance writer or something of that nature, you might be able to then find their personal website, which then might give you their an email address for them. It may not be an email address connected to the outlet or publication that they write for, but nonetheless, it's an email address. It's a start. You can try it. Now, one of the things that I found that works, and this is a little insider tip for you guys, and this is getting crafty, obviously, but even if people don't have their email address anywhere else, I've found that a lot of times you can find an email address on Facebook, on a Facebook profile, especially if it's like a business or a personality type of Facebook profile. So you might be able to find an email address there. And if that doesn't work, you can always get even more stalkerish and find them on LinkedIn. Find them on LinkedIn, request them as a friend. Once you do, on the right-hand side, you can find their email address. So those are just some of the ways. There's obviously other ways and other tactics that you can use, but you might just have to get crafty in terms of trying to find people's email address. My next tip is to attend events that you think media professionals might attend. So you want to think according to your industry and the type of coverage that you're looking to get. Go places where you think these writers might be. Now, I'll tell you this. Any seasoned journalist, writer, media professional, if they've been around for a long time, you might not find them at most of the biggest, highest events, only because they're over it. They've been there, done that, been to one party, been to them all. But it is not, it doesn't hurt to try. It doesn't hurt to go to some of these events that you think that some of these writers might be at. especially if you're looking to connect with some of the younger writers, some of the more up-and-coming writers, they're probably still in that phase of going out, everything's new, seeing it all. So it might be a good idea to try and schmooze with them, and you just conveniently position yourself at the events that you think they might be at so you can accidentally, conveniently bump into them. Why not, right? So that is a good way to just kind of casually start to develop the relationship. Now, my next tip is that there's so many people writing, and I use my air quotes these days, that the lines get blurred. Being a journalist is almost like a nostalgic thing, using that term and saying that word, because so many people are writing now, blogging, and things of that nature that traditional journalism is sort of off to the side somewhere. And someone else might argue with me, but look, you just got to be real about what's happening. I'm not saying whether it's a good or bad thing. It's just what's happening. There's more people in the pot now. There's more hands in the pot. But trust and believe, there is a difference though. There is a difference between a traditional old school journalist and someone who's been taught in those ways and a today's blogger or today's freelance writer. There's a difference. There really is. We don't need to get into all of that now because that is not something we want to battle. But there is a difference. So just note that as well, because that can play into how you approach people. Now, if someone ever asks you for payment in return for doing a story on you or your product or service, then run. And this is a part of where I say, you know, there's a difference, but we're not going to get into the details. Because that's not how PR works. Media professionals get paid by their company, not by the publicist or the person wanting publicity to actually write the story. That's not how that works. You know what that's called? That's called advertising. Okay? So if you go to somebody and you pitch them and you say, hey, I'd really love for you to write about this new lipstick that I have. I think it's pretty cool. It's vegan. It has no, I don't know, whatever in it. It's just the greatest thing since sliced bread. And you say, I'd really love for you to write about it or include it in your upcoming gift guide. And they say, sure, that'll be $250. I'll send you the packages. Thank you, but no thank you. That's not PR. They're basically asking you to advertise. And that's okay. But it's very important to understand the difference. Okay, it's very important to understand the difference because PR exists under the marketing headline, let's say, because there's PR, there's advertising, there's promotions, there's all these different facets of marketing and ways to get your product or service out there. PR is one of them, and it's the unpaid way. That's why I said it has a lot to do with relationships. But advertising is a paid way. You are paying for something very specific. And most times you can then dictate or you can pay for where you want your product to show up, what language you want associated with your product. You can have specifics. You can have requirements. Usually with PR, you can make asks. But you're not guaranteed anything. You can ask that your story be on the front page of the New York Times, but you're not guaranteed it. You can ask that your story be above the fold for USA Today or something, but you're not guaranteed it. And then if the writer doesn't do it, you can like bitch and moan a little bit, but like it's done. They don't owe you anything, actually. So that's the difference in advertising and in promotions. There's payment that changes hands. So you're getting what you paid for. But if someone is asking you to pay for PR placement, it's not PR and you should just respectfully bow out and walk away. One of the last things I want to talk about is press releases, because I see a lot of people that are just entering business that want to issue a press release. Like, oh, I need a press release written because I have this new thing and I want to talk about it and I need a press release. Okay, so what's so new about it? What's so great about it? What's the news? Is it newsworthy? If it's not, there's no big storyline, there's no big headline that can be attached to it, it's probably not worthy of a press release, especially now, because news moves so fast, things move so fast. A press release is just not required these days. Most companies issue press releases now as just a formality. It's not the way that they actually get news out like it once was in years past. So if it is not an absolute requirement for you to have a press release, if you're not a major company releasing major groundbreaking news and you're embargoing the news, also another topic for a later date, because that's real PR stuff there. But if you're not doing those types of things, then you don't need a press release. Don't waste your money paying for it. Don't waste your time and energy trying to create one. And finally, to wrap it up, and to close all of this PR talk out, I want to leave you with this tip. If you have a product and you are trying to get your product in a major outlet and be featured somewhere major, and you know that it would be a good fit because you've done all your research, you've been following this writer, you know that they write about stuff like what you have to offer. This is my tip to you. Traditional journalists are overlooked so much of the time now, in place of, let's say, bloggers, influencers, all of those things, that it might behoove you to take the time to send them one of those pretty overthought, well-branded packages that you might send to a blogger or an influencer. It might behoove you to send it to them just to woo them a little bit. And like I said before, with that first email before the pitch, you don't necessarily have to ask them for anything. You're just trying to create awareness because you know that they already write about or they're already interested in the types of products that you sell. I would put one of those journalists on my radar to start targeting, because I can almost bet you money that they are not getting the kind of shine and love and attention that the bloggers and the influencers are. So if you show them a little bit of that love and attention, they just might show you some of that love and attention and in the form of a story or an inclusion in a story sometime in the near future. Now, wouldn't that be nice? So those are my tips. I hope you guys enjoyed them. Before anyone emails or DMs me, no, I do not do PR anymore. I am retired from the game. But I thought that it would be a great idea during Podmas for me to share with you guys some tips that will help you make some headway in your future endeavors in 2018 as you are trying to make your mark in this space and be great and continue this awesome journey towards your continued larger greatness. I thought it'd be a good idea for you guys to just, you know, get some of the tips that I know. Hey, why not, right? So I hope that you enjoyed. If you did, be sure to share this episode with a friend. Definitely comment on social media. Send me some DMs. Share the episode on IG stories. I always love when you guys do that. And guess what? You could also leave a review if you haven't already left a review on iTunes. If you've enjoyed this episode, if you've enjoyed Podmas, if you've enjoyed this podcast, period, and it has given anything to your life, if you feel like it has added anything to your life, whether it be a solo episode or an episode with guests, a guest interview, anything like that, if it has added anything to your life, I would greatly appreciate if you would head on over to iTunes and just leave a review. That is what is going to help us continue to grow and make this show the best that it can possibly be. If you're not already following Switch, Pivot, or Quit on Instagram, where we provide a regular dose of feel-good encouragement and inspiration, mainly on IG stories, so be sure to check that out. You might want to get down with us over at Switch, Pivot, or Quit on IG. And if you're already following and you're thinking, I don't regularly see posts from Switch, Pivot, or Quit, you know what you might want to do? I got a good insider tip. Turn on your post notifications. That means every time we post a new feel-good post, you will be notified and you will be the first to know. So that is my solution to all the Instagram algorithm problems. And also, don't forget to head over to www.switchpivotorquit.com to keep up with all the goodies that we provide over there as well. So once again, thank you for hanging out with me. I appreciate you. And as always, keep killing it.